Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I am Tom. And today, again, we're going to be talking about reforming the elderly care policy. This lesson today is in the form of a letter. Stan Taylor, who is the Minister of Health and Welfare in this particular government. He's writing a letter to Christine Lawson, who is a project team leader, and he's talking about the new elderly care policy. So he needs to actually tell this person what the policy is so that Christine Lawson can put together a project to take care of this problem.
That's right. I'm just going to assume for our lesson today that we're talking about the country of Taiwan.
Okay, let's do that.
Because we live here.
Well, I don't know. You wouldn't have somebody called Stan Taylor or Christine Lawson.
Well, true.
In
their their names are wrong, aren't they?
Yeah, it would be somebody Mr. Lee or Mr. Jong or something.
But we know that the elderly care policy has been a big issue here. So
it is, yeah.
We are going to move ahead. And because this letter is from Mr. Stan Taylor, it requires a man to read it.
A man. Yeah, that's me.
Yes.
Yeah. So I will read the letter indeed. So let's begin our lesson today. Let's listen to the contents of Stan Taylor's letter to Christine Lawson, and then we'll come back to discuss it. From Stan Taylor, Ministry of Health and Welfare, to Christine Lawson, Project Team Leader, regarding New Elderly Care Policy. Dear Christine, please find below some brief introductory remarks I plan to make at the start of the first project meeting. I would appreciate your feedback. This country is facing a significant challenge, that of providing long-term care for the elderly. This issue is only going to grow as time passes. Therefore, it is necessary to reform the government's existing elderly care policy. The elderly population is expected to increase, with the percentage of people over 70 years old estimated to be 35% by 2050. The main contributing factor to this is that, thanks to advances in medicine and technology, people are living longer. Furthermore, people are now having fewer children than before, so there are fewer people earning incomes supporting more people who are not. Finally, though traditionally women took on the role of caring for the elderly, a greater proportion of women now work and are unable to do so. Of particular importance in the development of this new policy is that people are permitted to age with dignity. This means that the elderly receive the assistance they require while still having their personal and social needs met. When it comes to the financial aspects of this policy, it is important to leave no stone unturned. In addition to state funding, private sector companies, both for-profit and non-profit, must be considered.
Okay, guys, the first word that we want to be focusing on here is in the title, reforming. Reforming the elderly care policy. If you reform something, you change it, but you make it better. You don't change it and make it worse. Reform means to improve by making changes. So sometimes you have to reform some programs that you've had going for a while. Maybe they worked when you first initiated them or put them into action, and then later on, you know, our lives change or the world changes, and sometimes we have to reform some policies or even some laws that we have in our countries. Here, we're reforming the elderly care policy to improve the care that the elderly receive and also maybe reduce some of the pressure and stress of having to pay for good care on families that have these elderly that need caring for. So who's this letter from? Or it might be a memo, but I think it's probably a letter. It's written in the form of a memo, though, just so you know.
Okay.
And it looks like Christine Lawson is actually the person who receives it. She's the recipient. And she's probably in the same department because she's a project team leader of this new care policy. So a ministry is a department in a particular government. So Stan is working in the Ministry of Health and Welfare. So, Tom, take it away.
Okay, and so this letter is regarding the new elderly care policy, and he begins, Dear Christine, please find below some brief introductory remarks I plan to make at the start of the first project meeting. I should mention here that Mr. Taylor here is addressing Ms. Lawson as Christine, which is rather informal. Mm. I think that means that they know each other already. Don't call someone by their first name in the first letter to them if you don't know them. Say, Dear Mr. or Ms. So-and-so. Use their family name there. But he knows her, so he's saying, Dear Christine.
He probably appointed her to be project team leader.
Pretty much, yes.
He's probably her boss.
So they are on a first name basis.
Yes.
And he's saying that below in the body of this letter, there are some remarks. They're introductory remarks, at least remarks or comments or information that is going to introduce you to this particular project. But he's saying that I'm going to make these remarks. I'm going to say these things at the first project meeting, okay? So I'm going to say these things, and I just want you to look at these things, and I want you to give me some feedback. I would appreciate your feedback. In other words, read them and then tell me what you think, and then I'll make changes before the meeting begins.
Okay, there are two things I want to say about the word feedback. I teach a lot of business people in Taiwan. Feedback can only be a noun. You cannot use this as a verb. I have a lot of clients who will write, I want to feedback you. It's also non-count. You can't give someone feedbacks. If you want to ask for feedback, I would appreciate some feedback from you. Can you give me some feedback? My boss gave me some feedback this morning. Yeah, the feedback was kind of negative. Oh, the feedback I received was positive. So be careful with that word, guys.
And be careful when you're speaking through a microphone, because if the microphone gets too close to a speaker, then you have feedback, which is another meaning of this word. That just means you get this noise that comes from your speaker because the microphone is too close to the speaker. I think we've all had that experience before.
Yeah.
Now, let's move on now to the next paragraph here. It says, this country, the country that they live in here, is facing a significant challenge. And what is that challenge? Well, it is the challenge of providing long-term care for the elderly. So that is a challenge. It is not just a small challenge, a medium-sized challenge, but it's a significant challenge. And something is significant when it is very, very important and when it needs to have some attention. You cannot ignore it.
And he says this issue is only going to grow as time passes. The way that this sentence is written means it's not going to get better. We can't ignore it because it's only going to grow. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse unless we give it some attention. Therefore, it is necessary to reform the government's existing elderly care policy. You know, some people, if they see problems in their lives, sometimes they just go, well, I'll just ignore it. Maybe it will go away.
Mm.
But some of the challenges or problems that we face, either at work or in our personal lives, they're just going to get worse unless you face them, confront them, do something about it.
Like the last time I had a toothache, I just thought it would go away.
No.
But no, eventually I had to have some root canal work done. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. But in any case here, remember that he was talking about the current policy being no longer sustainable. It's just not going to work anymore.
Yeah.
So they need to change the policy. That's what he's saying here in this letter to Christine Lawson. And he goes on to say in the next paragraph, the elderly population is expected to increase, with the percentage of people over 70 years old estimated to be 35%, by 2050. I think we've all heard this before. There are more and more old people in the population than there are young people. If we talk about the population, we just talk about the number of people there are in a certain place. So the population of elderly people is going to go up. It's going to increase. There are going to be more and more elderly people. And he gives an exact figure here. People over 70 years old are estimated to be 35% by 2050. That's only in, oh gee, about, what, 35 years or so? It's going to be here sooner than you think. Estimated here is from the verb to estimate. That means you make an educated guess about something.
And the main contributing factor, or the one thing that is contributing to this, or making this the case, why are we having so many more older people? Well, people are living longer, guys, because there have been advances in medicine and technology. So whereas people used to live until like they were 65, 69, 70, you know, you felt like you had a long life. Now they're living. I just had a friend whose father passed away, and he was 96.
Ooh.
And he was really in pretty good shape until the last month of his life, which was really fun. Huh?
That's how we all hope it happens.
Yeah.
You know, we can stay healthy, and then when we die, it happens pretty fast.
It went very fast, yeah.
Mm. But in any case here, yes, because of medicine and technology, people are living longer. Thanks to those advances, we can say that that's the reason for this. And furthermore, or in addition, people are now having fewer children than before, so there are fewer people earning incomes, supporting more people who are not. Indeed, in the past, there were lots of kids. Not only could those kids help take care of the old people, but they could also work and contribute money to the tax base, but now there are fewer people doing that.
There sure are. So there is a big problem. That's what the issue is. It's just that our families have changed. So people are now having fewer children. There's fewer people earning income, supporting the people who are not. So finally, though traditionally women took on the care of the role of caring for the elderly, a greater proportion of women now work and are unable to do so. I remember when I was growing up, most moms would stay at home and take care of their kids. My mom did, and I loved it, but I know a couple of my sisters, they have to work because the salaries that men make today, they're lower, forcing women a lot of times to have to go to work, and a lot of times women want to work, so it's tough. If you take something on, guys, it just means you start doing it. You can take on an assignment. You can take on the role of somebody if you're an actor or actress. If you take someone on, someone might be challenging you. And if you're a guy, like Tom's a big guy, and another guy is, you know, saying crap to him, giving him stuff, making him mad. If he takes him on, it means he kind of challenges him to a fight.
I'm going to beat him to a bloody pulp. But in any case here, yes, as an example, I could say, hey, I'm ready for a promotion. I'm ready to take on some more responsibilities. So in the past, women took on the responsibility of taking care of the elderly, but as you said, there's a larger proportion or ratio of women who are working, and they just don't have the time to take care of their sick and ailing parents. Now, in the next paragraph here, it says, of particular importance in the development of this new policy is that people are permitted to age with dignity. That is a part of this policy. We want people to age with dignity. Dignity is just self-respect, or worthy of being honored or respected. And indeed, yes, we don't just want to send these people to some kind of nursing home for them to just simply wait to die. We want them to be vital and important and still make a contribution to society.
Yeah, they want to feel like they're still important in the lives of the ones they love, and even have friends that they can hang out with if possible.
We'll play Mahjong, yeah.
That's right. So I understand all of this. If you permit someone to do something, you allow it to happen. The verb is permit. The noun form of this word is permit. Notice the 重音 is on the first syllable with the noun, permit. You sometimes need to get a permit to go hunting in America. I know you guys don't have guns here, but you also need a permit if you're a new driver. Before you get your official driver's license, you can get a permit to practice if you're like 15 and a half.
It's actually 14 from where I'm from.
Oh, because you live in a state that has farms.
Yeah, kids do need to learn to drive pretty early.
Pretty young,
Actually, if you live in Taipei or Kaohsiung, you could get by without a driver's license. But we're not really talking about that right now. We're talking about letting people age with dignity. What does this mean? Well, this means that the elderly receive the assistance they require. Assistance just means help here. But at the same time, they can still have their personal and social needs met. So they can still socialize with their friends. They can still feel like they're a human being. They're not just some kind of helpless patient who's a burden to everybody. They still want to be allowed to feel important.
So when it comes to the financial aspects of this policy, the financial parts, so when you're talking about the financial parts of this policy, it's important to leave no stone unturned. This is a very famous and popular idiom that we use quite often. If you leave no stone unturned, it means you do everything you can to accomplish whatever you need to. I think it originally comes from the fact that someone lost something outside. And if you lost something outside, you're looking through the grass, you turn over the rocks or the stones to see if it's underneath. You do everything you can. Here we're doing everything we can to find the funding that this new policy requires. So besides the government or the state funding, we're going to look at private sector companies. These are private companies who are not government related or government owned. For example, I don't know, some big companies here would be
Acer,
that's
Asus,
right.
Whatever, those are private sector companies. They are nonprofit companies. So yes, we want them to help out. After all, we're all in this together. You know, we're one big happy family, one big society. And we want everybody to contribute, not always relying on the government for everything. And yes, indeed, we want to get some funding from both for-profit companies and non-profit companies. All of these contributions should be factored in. They should be considered.
Yeah, it's very important. Okay, guys, someone who's going to explain just a little bit more is our Chinese teacher. We're going to listen to that, and then we'll be back.
Hi everyone, my name is Jenny. 好，今天呢，我们要继续来看第九单元，我们要延续上一次对话的内容。好，上次提到这个新政策，谈的是老年照护服务的新政策。那我们今天呢，就要来看，这其实是一封 email 的内容。这个信件里面就是要谈它怎么样来说明，做开场白来谈这个政策。好，再提一遍。所谓的老年照护政策 The Elderly Care Policy 好我们要做改革那这一位部长他其实要讲的就是整个的政策原因还有政策执行面要考虑的状况好这封信他一开头就告诉你他的目的所以他这是第一次的专案会议 First Project Meeting 而这里是一个开场白所以是一个Introductory remarks. 好，那下面的内容他写到了国家面临一个重大的挑战。好，看到了冒号，这和中文的冒号是一样的，后面有要说明的地方。那这个说明之处就是下面冒号所写的 that of providing long-term care for the elderly 好这个句子里头这其实当然也不是一个完整句在冒号后面这个片语它里面的 that 指什么呢好 that 是指称词要从前后文来判断它谈的到底是什么以这里来看就是前面说的 challenge A challenge 这个挑战是什么挑战好从 of 后面说起它就是要为老人家来提供长期的照护好还有一个要留意注意的就是 the 这个字后面再加一个形容词我们晓得 elderly 是指老年的所以当你用 the 在家 elderly 就是指所有的老人。好，我们继续往下看。那当然我们现在的新政策是为了要改革政府的现行的老人照护政策。好，现行的政策用的字是 existing。 接下来下面一段，那提到了这个政策哦，其实呢我们知道在西元2050年，现在预估呢到那个时候啊的老人家70岁以上的人口比例将会达到 35%。 好，这个句子里面有几个地方几个细节，首先呢就是看到了 with W-I-T-H with， 我们呢看过它当介系词后面加受词然后再接补语，那表示一个状况一个情形。那当然这边提到的是老人家人口比例的问题，不过你看到的 with 后面的受词很长，那补语在哪里呢？补语就是后面的 estimated。 estimated 是一个过去分词，也就是被估计，被估计将会到达 35%。 那我们继续来往下看，下面呢当然说到为什么老人家人口会这么样的快速增加呢？好，这里有个片语 thanks to advances in medicine and technology， 而且你看到 thanks to 开头这里前面有一个逗点，然后到 technology 后面又有一个逗点，这当然是插入句在中间。那我们知道 thanks to 是幸亏因为怎么样，其实是拜什么之赐，也就是因为有了医学有了科技的进步，所以老人家现在人们可以活得更久。此外呢他又提到说小孩子生的也变少了，然后呢有收入的人就更少，那他们这种收入少的人要去抚养没有收入的人，而且没有收入人更多，这样子的话其实这个社会经济是会出状况的。那当然最后还有一点，就是传统里面呢一般女性她是会待在家里照顾老人，可是现在可能就不是如此，因为女性也有自己的工作。好，那提到了这些种种的层面，她这封信呢后面就说到这个政策的发展里面有一点最重要的是她希望人们可以有尊严的老去。好，这句话我们要注意的是结构问题，因为它是一个倒装句，它的主词到底在哪里呢？它是放在后面 be 动词的后面，那 be 动词后面这里 that people are permitted to age with dignity， 也就是人可以有尊严的老去，这呢是怎么样，是格外尤其重要的。好，所以我们看到的话 be 动词前面的这里既然不是主词，那它是什么呢？它其实是补语。我们知道英文的句子里面我们有时候会把 be 动词后面的那个主词补语搬到句首，然后呢反而把主词摆最后，然后整个句子变成一个倒装句，这个就是其中的一个例子。它是从 of particular importance 开始，可是这其实是补语的。好，我们再来看下面，当然谈到这个政策之后，最后提到的是如果是谈这个政策，那它的财政方面呢一定要好好的去考虑了，因为不管是国家的资金或者是一些盈利的非盈利的民间公司，他们这些都是考虑的要件之一。那我们最后要看的就是民间的公司 private sector companies， 那 private sector 这当然字面上很清楚的是民营的，那可是国家的呢，国家国营的公司呢，我们顺便学一下 state owned enterprise 或者是讲 state run，这里表示国家的国营的。好，我们今天的讲解就到这里结束，我们下次见。
Okay, to finish off our lesson for today, we've got some discussion questions, and we're going to ask these questions, and we're going to answer these questions, but this just serves as a model for all of you when you get together with your classmates and have similar discussions. So here's the first question I'm going to ask to you, Stephanie. Here we go.
Yeah.
Does your family have to care for an elderly member? How does it do this?
Not currently. My dad is almost 80, but he's in really good health, and he kind of takes care of himself completely. My mom was in bad shape before she passed away, but it was my dad, and mostly my dad, who would see to her day-to-day needs. He could help her, but, you know, my sisters and my brothers all came over and brought food and visited and things like that. We didn't have anyone that was outside the family helping. And we, in our family at least, because we have so many kids, we have pledged or promised not to put our parents into nursing homes.
Yeah, it'd be ideal if you could do that, especially if you have a big family and you've got all sorts of offspring to help out with the care. But in some families, they just don't have that many kids. There are a lot of people who just don't have kids, or they just have one child or something.
And they have to work? Who's going to stay home and take care of a parent? Yeah,
exactly. But I can give the example of my wife's family
here.
Her parents are both gone now, but unfortunately for both of them, they did get sick and were sick for quite some time, and that can be quite complicated. We hired caregivers from different places. We had a couple from Indonesia and one from the Philippines. And yeah, sometimes they're reliable, sometimes they're not. For the most part, they're pretty hard workers.
Did they live with you?
Yep, they lived with us. And this went on for quite some time. I think this is the extreme case, though. We certainly don't want our parents to require long-term care like that. But in my neighborhood, my goodness, you see all sorts of foreign caregivers.
Me too.
Pushing people around in wheelchairs. So this is a reality that is not going to go away.
Here's the next question, Tom.
Yeah.
What would be an ideal way to care for elderly people?
Well, kind of something similar to what was said in the letter. In today's lesson, we want them to have dignity, okay? So, yes, keep them in the home as much as you can and see if you can get people to spend time with their parents as they get older. I've seen a situation in which a lot of the people here are proud to say that all their children immigrated overseas. They live in America or Australia or Canada, but they're not here to take care of mom and dad. In my neighborhood, there are all sorts of elderly people who are all by themselves because their kids long left Taiwan. What's wrong with Taiwan? They should stay here in Taiwan and they should help take care of the elderly.
One thing that my church has done is on Sundays after church, we'll go and visit nursing homes, and I sing for them and play the piano. They'll bring a lot of the elderly out into this big room, and it's kind of sad, Tom, because a lot of these people, their families don't come to visit.
Oh, no.
There was one gentleman, he had to have been, I think he was over 90, he had been a sailor in World War II, and he just wanted to sit by me and tell me stories. His English was fabulous. I couldn't believe how much he remembered. Some people have really good memories. I hope my memory doesn't fail me as I get older. But if you do have to put a family member in a nursing home or a rest home, remember they still need visits. It's kind of lonely there if they don't have someone to talk to a lot of the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was wondering if it's possible when you go traveling or something, instead of going to visit all the museums and stuff like that, maybe they can make some arrangement for you to visit a nursing home and talk to the people there. They'd be glad to talk to you.
Oh, yeah, they love it.
And you can hear all the stories from the past. Young people, they just won't know that stuff. They can tell you what the latest post on Facebook is and stuff like that. But for the real in-depth kind of stuff, you got to talk to people who are older.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Well, good luck with this out there. It's a tough issue taking care of your elderly parents and grandparents. Right now, though, we need to sign off, so we hope you'll join us next time for our program. This is English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom.
Bye. Bye.